Up in arms our young people are, our students, our future. Up in arms. Keep us safe, said a sign held by a young child. Keep us safe, as she marched. We should have a right, we should have a right, these young students say, to go to school, to college, and to know that we are safe. So we can study, and learn, and grow, and be ready for life. And so they should. They really should. And so should we all. Safe. All Americans safe. Safe we should be from violence, evil, malice, and immoral human beings. All of them, don't you think? Not just students. All of us. We in the world witnessed a rising up of young people in perhaps the largest protest of violence and killing since the Vietnam War. There were marches and protests in some 800 cities on Marching Day Saturday. The largest march occurred in Washington, D.C., where an estimated 500,000 people gathered to demand new laws from our federal Congress for the control of guns and an end to violence and killing in the wake of the February 14 school shootings in Parkland, Florida. Parkland itself saw more than 20,000 people gathering and marching, and that's a tiny little town. But 20,000 people gathered and marched, filling Pine Trails Park near Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where gunman Nicholas Cruz killed 17 people last month. 17 people. God forgive them. Those students and supporters chanted over and again, enough, hoping to send a message to Congress and the world that the killings must stop. And if they don't, these students warned, our ballots will stop bullets. That's a good one, isn't it? Our ballots will stop bullets. And for the America in which these students live, that would be one great thing, would it not? How great would it be if the youth of our country, and especially those 18 years of age and older, who are privileged to vote, would step up, learn the political process, study the Constitution, are they doing that? Become active in state, county, and local political and social affairs, and become effective agents, in changing the world. It seems obvious that those remaining creatures in the swamp in Washington, D.C., as President Trump calls them, will forever live in stalemate and deadlock, protecting themselves and their power positions, and in so many ways not doing the right thing for America. So, the students say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Tens of millions of Americans agree, don't you? The emotion, the passion, the will to change are all good, very good. But you know, more is required. Much more. These students, as they study, must learn about politics. They must learn the Constitution, especially that, and all that it means. It's the law of our land. It's the law of their land. They must understand the federal government, the Congress, the House and Senate, the judiciary, and how it works, and what its powers are, and, of course, the president, and the unbelievable powers vested in one man. The young of America must learn the issues. They must study economics. They must understand the unbelievable debt which they now inherit from us. They don't know anything about that. Do you know how much we, the people, owe to ourselves and the world? $121 trillion. That's with a T. Can you comprehend that number? I know they can't. They must begin to understand how that will affect their lives, and boy, will it ever. They must learn the rules, especially the federal rules, which govern education. They must learn states' rights and federalism. They don't know much about that. They must understand the checks and balances of the Constitution, and perhaps most importantly, they must learn that the federal government, all of Washington, D.C., all of it, functions under the Constitution, with limited powers and with enumerated powers only. Boy, that's gotten lost in the shuffle, has it not? Our young people must become active in their state as a result, which is a treasure trove of power and rights. And their counties, and where they live, and perhaps most importantly for them, their very own school districts. They must become involved in all of that. Perhaps they become members in due course of the school boards, or vote as electors for the people who will run their school boards and their commissioners who serve on those boards. Let our students vote for them. Then and only then can the passion of the March for Our Lives have real meaning, enduring meaning, longevity and effectiveness. Only then, no matter how many marches there are, and it is vitally important that these young students do continue to march and protest, but it's so vitally important that these young voters not be caught up in identity politics. Identity politics. The young must not be seen as a one-issue voting bloc against violence and guns and killings and for safety and security in schools only. Important as all of these issues are, they must become fully educated so that they can be fully involved in the political process for the good of all Americans and for our great country. All things American, all things American, and not just one issue. On behalf of President Donald Trump, Deputy Press Secretary Lindsay Walters stated the following. We applaud the many courageous young Americans exercising their First Amendment rights today. Keeping our children safe is a top priority of President Trump. And indeed it is. The president has indicated that he is in favor of reasonable gun control, and in fact, said Trump, it is time for the president to step up and take a leadership role in making these controls happen. It would seem that the vast majority of Americans agree. Do you? Now, we the people wait for action, like it seems we wait for action over and over again on the things that really matter from Washington, D.C. Perhaps we should all hope that these young people, now by the millions, 18 years of age and over, will in fact step up and vote intelligently to make certain that their ballots will in fact stop the bullets. You know, my fellow Americans, every reasonable American has to be for that, don't you think? Aren't you? Some 150,000 people marched in New York City, in Manhattan. They carried graphic signs like, Never Again, Protect My Life Over Your Guns, Books, Not Bullets, and perhaps the most impactful sign of all carried by a young girl, perhaps 5 or 6 years old, and the sign said, Am I next? Am I next? Wow, boy, that's powerful. No, you are not, shouted Mary Ann Jacobs, a survivor of the Sandy Hook elementary school shootings in Newton, Connecticut. Remember them? That shooting killed 26 teachers and students in 2012, 9 more than Parkland. You won't be next, she promised, for if our elected leaders won't listen, we will vote them out. We will vote them out. To which the responsive crowd shouted over and again, Vote them out! Vote them out! Vote them out! Boy, a lot of people really feel that way. What we really want is a ban on assault rifles, said another student. The Constitution never intended, say these young voters, that the Second Amendment would allow assault rifles or any of the military advanced weaponry of today. I wonder if they're right. Perhaps they are. But, of course, many disagree. That would be, they say, an infringement on the Second Amendment, and it very well may be. The Second Amendment is quite clear about the right to keep and bear arms, and the word arms seems unequivocal and inviolable. Any weapon is an arm, and it cannot be infringed or abridged or prevented. Perhaps the only real way to solve the problem is to call a convention of the states, and at least 34 of them need to do that, to consider the revision or the elimination of the Second Amendment. That would be an extremely difficult task, but perhaps these passionate young voters should take it as a challenge to make such a convention happen. The states could then exercise the power which the Constitution affords them and move past the federal government, the House, the Senate, and the judiciary. Any change in the Second Amendment or even other amendments can only come from the people and will never, ever come from Washington, D.C. The voices, the content of the speeches were fresh, young, innocent and sincere. What a pleasure to hear them instead of the typical politicos of the day. It was a march for the lives of young people, directed by young people, spoken about by young people, presented by them. New, fresh voices rang aloud and clear. I enjoyed almost all of it. Did you? But in New York, unfortunately, the old pros, the establishment politicos, namely Senator Chuck Schumer, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, showed up, made an appearance, unfortunately, and in the eyes of many soured the experience. You know, it seems so often in American politics that the people speak, they demand, and make it clear what they want, only to be ignored by the politicians in power. These young voters seem intent on getting what they want or voting these politicians, these political swamp dwellers, as one student called them, voting them out of office and replacing them with the new, perhaps the young. Time will tell, because in time emotion fades. But if there is in fact a real will to change, and the demand is strong, and the promise for the November elections clear, then perhaps some action will occur in Washington. But the states can act as well. The states can act as well, and in reasonable ways to effectuate gun control. Perhaps the states should act especially so, in light of the inaction in Washington, D.C. These passionate students can be equally effective in the states as in Washington, and maybe that's where they should start. And there were marches in Australia. One poster stated the following: of all the things that can kill you in Australia, sharks, crocodiles, snakes, and spiders, a mass shooter is not one of them. Isn't that great? A mass shooter is not one of them. Well, not yet anyway, and may it never be so. Perhaps one of the most meaningful statements was made by student Sarah Chadwick, also from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where the shootings occurred. Sarah Chadwick stated the following: I say one life is worth more than all of the guns in America. This gun violence is not a red versus blue issue, referring to the great division in our states in America, but, said M.S. Chadwick, this is a morals issue. This is a morals issue. Oh, boy, is she right about that. And indeed it is. That is the problem at the bottom line, don't you think? Guns are not the killers. Guns don't kill anybody. None. Immoral people are the killers. Immoral people can use guns or knives or bombs or cars and other means to kill, as we in America have witnessed. The problem for America and the world is morality. Evil replaces good. Guns in the hands of the good don't kill. Guns in the hands of the evil and the hateful kill at will. Guns, arms, the thing itself can be controlled, and perhaps even ultimately banned if an amendment change occurs. But that really will not solve the problem, because it is the heart of those evil men, and sometimes women, which is deceitful above all, which must be changed. As our young people become even more politically active, and that's again a good thing, we should hope that they will understand that the hate of the killer must be replaced by the love of mankind. I know where that love can be found. I can only hope that those young people find him as the real cure for this problem. You know, the one who was resurrected.